Pan-African Connect on cliffcentral.com.
Hello world, it's that time of the week again. My name is Rosie Modena, aka the Afro-Yiddish Princess. Welcome to my show called Pan-African Connect, where we connect with people from across the continent, East, West, Southern, Northern Africa, finding out what they're doing, what they're up to, what they believe in, how they celebrate life, food, travel, decor, the works. This week we're going to be chatting to a phenomenal Ghanaian TV presenter, radio presenter, voiceover artist, MC. She hails from Ghana but has grown up in South Africa. Getting to know the Ghanaian community in South Africa and her perspective of the entertainment industry and of our continent. But of course, first up, we always start with this tradition and...
Yeah, uh-huh, you know what it is.
While pouring down, soon as I hit the shoe, I go so hard. I'm Rosh Hashanah, I'll blow the shofar. Get my hair did, reading the Torah. I'm thugged out, I set my enemies with the menorah. And I got the pedal to the metal, cruising in my minivan, coming straight up out the shadow. Hear my grandma talk, but there's nothing you can tell her. We on the way to meet up with our Jewish diamond seller. She trying to set me up, but I'm breaking hearts. There's a great deal on kosher chicken. Wearing big glasses, but I'm chic though. My bar mitzvah was cracking all week, ho. I'm sipping Clico, and I'm keeping Shabbos. Every Hanukkah, I devour the roots and lockers. No paper planes, but I'm taking flight. I got a free trip to Israel, birthright.
Yeah, uh-huh, you know what it is. My nose and ass, they're both big. I'm popping bottles, but quiet, bitch. Don't spend no money, but you know I'm rich. Prepping for my parents, when you see me, you know everything.
Some chicken soup, cause my flow is sick. If you need you a lawyer, I'll get you a deal quick.
Yeah, uh-huh, you know what it is. My nose and ass, they're both big. Yeah, uh-huh, screaming fuck a hater. Sipping Hennessy in my Passover Seder.
Repping for my parents, when you see me, you know everything.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Rosie Matena, aka the Afro-Yiddish Princess, and with me in studio I have Marion Lati. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Very, very good, thank you. You are originally Ghanaian.
Yes.
And you grew up in Eastern Cape, am
That's
I correct?
That's correct, yeah. By the way, with and East London.
Yeah. About 2 decades ago, and I might be wrong even in a little bit longer, there was a great influx of Ghanaian professionals moving into South Africa, into the Eastern Cape.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. Why South Africa and why specifically that region?
Mm. Well, you're correct. The 80s was the era when Ghanaians did come to the south, because you mentioned you're doing west, east, south. So I guess I'm touching on the south part of your show segment.
Yeah.
So in the 80s, yes, opportunities came about for teachers and doctors and those professions. Mm-hmm. And those who were in Ghana got to hear about it. And those who were brave enough to jump ship mm-hmm. did come through down this side. It wasn't just here in SA, also in Swaziland as well. There were okay. also opportunities that side. So my parents actually started off in Swaziland and then they moved down to South Africa.
Oh, wow. And you were born in South Africa?
Yes, I was. East London.
And within the communities, I mean, when we talk about the 80s, where it was a very, very volatile situation, what was the reaction from the locals with a whole lot of foreigners moving into that mm. area?
Well, I guess my parents would have a different perspective as I would, because, mm. I mean, they're part of a different era as I am part of a different era.
Yeah.
So I can't really say for them how it was, but I knew they had to learn the language a lot quicker to fit in with the locals. So
yeah.
you wouldn't always be an outcast or an outsider. Mm. You make that effort, which people usually appreciate when you make an effort when you come into their home.
Mm.
With our side, the youngsters, I guess the first generation who moved this side, I never actually got the sense that I was an outsider or an outcast.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Some of them did, some of my peers did, but I didn't, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on where you want to look at it.
Yeah.
I can't even say why. I was just being me. Mm. I guess also.
But I think
parents,
that's also depending on the influence that your parents
yes.
are going to have in the home.
Yes, yes.
So, and that's something I want to tap into. So, if you're going to be putting in a strong Ghanaian influence and constantly telling your children, well, you're different to Thabo down the road, you're going to start growing up and believing
that. Which
they
never did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Languages. What languages did you speak at home?
My parents are Twi speaking mm-hmm. from Ghana, but in the household we spoke a lot of English.
Okay.
And I guess the older we got, especially on my side, I realized that I wish I'd spoken my language a lot more at home. My parents did try, but I guess also when you grow up in a country that's not yours,
yeah.
and you know, the people in my country speak English or their native language, you as a child assume, okay, I'm going to learn my parents' language, which is not from this era. So who am I going to communicate with outside my family homes? Why not brush up on what is part of the space I'm in right now?
Yeah.
So for me, it was English, and that's what I just stuck with and I went with. But I do understand my parents' language, not 100%.
Yeah, but in Ghana itself, I mean, a majority of the population do speak English and it's their first language.
Yeah. English and a bit of French.
And a bit of French. Is Twi a dying out language, or like, for instance, if you go into just the normal grocery store and converse, somebody will be able to understand
you? Yeah, Twi is one of the strongest languages there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like Xhosa Zulu here in SA.
Okay,
so
yeah.
You'll be 90% guaranteed to find someone that understands you if you speak in that language.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing which fascinated me about the whole migration, if you look at a certain pockets of for instance, New York, there's an area called Le Petit Senegal, which is just inhabited by the Senegalese population. So you've got their own green grocer. They've got their own designers, restaurants, music clubs, and so forth. Mm. Was that like this? Did you have small pockets like that growing up in East London, in the Eastern Cape?
Back then, no, not really. But now we can see a lot of that booming. Like,
wow.
Look at Pretoria. There are various sections of Pretoria where, you know, if you go there,
yeah.
that's where you find Senegalese, Nigerian, Ghanaians, and so forth. But I guess back then, because we were still new to this, we still had to understand our environment.
Yeah.
But we did keep close to each other. We had a very strong knit of family. Everyone
yeah.
that came through was known to be your family. So when you address an elder, you always say uncle, auntie, regardless of whether it's blood relation or not.
Yeah. But that's a typical African.
Yes,
you know,
true,
that's the sense
true,
of Ubuntu
true,
also.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
yeah. And we're always tried our best to always meet up during the weekend, social events, so we'd grow up together and understand each other and be able to share what we experience in this country that we're now living in, and also not forget our culture at the same time.
Yeah, which is very, very important. You mentioned before and that the level of xenophobia didn't exist, but over the last decade, we've seen two horrific outbursts within
yes.
the country. What's your take on that?
No, it did exist back then, but luckily I wasn't part and parcel of it.
Okay.
I would see and hear of people who were victimized back then. You know, you'd walk down the street sometimes and people go, oh, I'm a Ghana, you know, in the Eastern Cape. So you would hear a lot of that, but it wasn't anything violent.
Yeah.
As you saw
yeah,
about
here,
five.
Yes, here it was sinister. It was
yeah.
it was really, really vile. And literally, degrading people and treating them like animals, you know, and that's what that scared me, that suddenly a nation can just turn on the next person. Mm. It's interesting for me from another perspective. What was your take on it when it happened now? You know, because, I mean, you consider yourself South African.
Yes.
But, I mean, did you feel betrayed at all by other South African inhabitants?
Mm. Well, I guess that's what is people voicing their anger. But, you know, in voicing your anger, there are always different and better ways to do so.
Yeah.
They probably would see it as the fact that, okay, this is our country first.
Yeah.
Yes, they've been here for X amount of years or weeks or so forth.
Mm.
And they've come in and taken our opportunities. Mm. Whereas opportunities are there for you to take, whether you're from here or not from here. So grab
If you want to grow and you want to learn something, it doesn't matter from which part of the continent.
So I think it's been years of build-up. And I guess those who now are in control, those who are in charge, those who are active enough,
mm-hmm.
this is how they choose to address their differences or their grievances, which is unfortunate, but at least it came to an end.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's ended. It might come again, but hopefully if it does come again, it'll happen in a more civil manner.
I think you know what, it's I don't think it has ended, and I wish that the government would actually stand up to and create the dialogues that should have happened 10 to 15 years ago. Because of what's happened, it isn't going to stop people still coming into our country, and we need the foreign trade. Mm. We need that microcosm of people coming into our, for us to learn also.
Yes.
You know, so I think we need to have those conversations, and it's maybe our generation to continue with those conversations and not be scared to talk about it.
Which is true. I don't think the problem has ever been addressed.
Yeah.
It was only, let's stop this. They are our brothers and sisters, and that's that. But it wasn't, okay, let's really iron out the proper issue here.
Yeah.
Get it over and done with. Understand where they're coming from.
Mm.
Let them understand where you're coming from. And let's reach a compromise of some sort.
Yeah.
Now it was just, let's stop the violence because the world is watching.
Yeah.
And if the world watches, then it hurts the country.
Yeah,
so I think
so
that
true.
Was more why it was, let's end this now quickly, but not sort it out properly as it should.
Yeah. And politics, what's your take on Ghanaian politics? Do you follow?
No, I don't follow. I guess because I don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I do not know when they have, when they run the elections. I will know about it because family will speak about it, and you'll get to read about it as well here and there because I'm in the media.
Yeah.
So because I need to brush up on certain things, I will come across information that comes from the West as well, and I'll get to see and understand what's happening. But in-depth politics, no. No.
Yeah. No, it's also easier way to stay away from it, especially if you're not from the region and you don't understand it.
Know what to say, what not to say, and when you're not there.
And I mean, I've been a victim, not a victim, but I mean, I emceed an event in West Africa and one of the Asante kings were on stage and nobody told me I wasn't allowed to touch his cloth.
Mm.
And by mistake, I turned around, he was right next to me and I touched his cloth and then I was called backstage and it was like a big diplomatic debate.
Yes.
Do we pull off stage? And it's just, you know, it's I think those type of things we need to be very, very careful with in respect of the next individual.
Basically, the small things that media doesn't cover, which for that country is pretty big when it comes to culture.
Yeah.
And you don't get to know about it. So like you said, you get to read up all these exciting things, the cloth, the king, but you don't know that you can't touch it.
Yeah.
Or you need to have your head down, no eye contact. That doesn't get reported on.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to media, your choice of career. Why?
Wow.
crazy career choice.
Yes, crazy and difficult at the same time.
Yeah.
Difficult because we're from Ghana and our parents had moved down this side. We were never brought up in a family environment where entertainment, media was encouraged in your family. So when you break away and you decide to do that, you're fighting against a huge current.
Yeah.
Your whole life, basically.
Mm.
Even till today, it's not what my parents want me to do, but every year they get to understand and appreciate and try and support me in what I have chosen to do.
Yeah. But I mean, you've done very well. I mean, you've done a TV presenting gig, which you won an award for last year. What was that about?
It was about TV. All right. No, I did a lifestyle show. It was called Ghana on Point, but for, you know, how social media is right now, it was called GH on Point.
Yeah.
It was an hour-long live show, my first time doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
I have got a radio background, so I thought, okay, since I can't speak, maybe I can put that into TV and make it work.
Yeah.
And clearly I got an award, so It did
definitely
work.
And
somehow,
it wasn't an award here. I mean, it was an award in Nigeria.
Yes.
So at least you were
speaks
recognized.
Speaks volumes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so congratulations. And then your radio. What is your topic? Do you want to go into talk radio? Do you prefer combining it with music? Do you want to go into sports? Where's your career path in terms of the radio?
Well, my radio journey actually started a very odd way. I never grew up thinking I wanted to do radio. Mm. It was something that people told me I should get into. And I eventually decided, okay, let me listen, because 20 people, 30 people, 40 people can't be wrong. Let me try it out and see if there is truth to what they're saying. Mm. And 9 years ago, I tried. I got in. I've been doing radio for the past 9 years now. And future-wise, will I do talk radio? Again, based on what people say. Some have said I should try and branch into that in time. So I wouldn't rule it out. Maybe it might happen, maybe not. But I would also like to open up a company of sorts. So depending on which one comes first, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Life is very weird and interesting, so we'll see what happens.
Before we move on to music from Ghana, I think we need to listen to this.
Pan-African Connect on cliffcentral.com.
So, moving on to the music scene. How would you define, if somebody said to me, okay, you're from Ghana, what is the music that comes from there? What can I expect? Mm. What is your definition, personal definition?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you need to speak about music from Ghana, you often have to fight for the fact that Nigeria is close to Ghana. We're also in the West, so they dominate the music industry. You know, one cannot deny that they dominate it.
Mm.
So you often have to let people know why they should, you know, forget that Nigeria is this dominant force.
Mm.
But there is also Ghana that's trying. I mean, you have artists there that are doing pretty well.
Mm.
You have D Black, Stone Boy, Shatta Wale, and a couple more. That Miss V, that I'm trying to get off the cuff. They're all out there, you know, and Sakode as well, who's doing pretty well in the hip hop industry.
Yeah.
So we've got a number of people that are trying to push and put Ghana up there. But of course, we are fighting against a very strong force, which is Nigeria.
Mm.
But we will get there.
Yeah.
I mean, in the past, we were actually bigger than Nigeria. And then, of course, Nigeria made things happen now, and they're working.
Yeah. No, they've really infiltrated the market, not only in film, with the hip-hop market. Like, if you look at Nedo C, Ikechukwu, I mean, these guys are signing in international deals, which is really, really interesting. But what I loved about the first time when I visited Accra is that you have a very strong royalty and monarch system structured. Is there also a very strong traditional music structure or cultural music structure that you know of?
Well, again, based on my family upbringing, when we get together, like I said, on the weekends for social gatherings, you do get to the ladies. They do get to sing in their traditional Ghanaian music style.
Mm.
So based on that, I would say yes, it is.
Yeah.
But of course, I cannot be 100% certain because I don't live in Ghana.
Mm.
I haven't been there in a couple of years, but I'll go there in December. So maybe you can bring me back in January and
yes.
I can report back and tell you what I said is true.
Yeah. And your take on the South African music scene, the hip hop, the rise of hip hop, the rap that's been happening. I mean, we've got some phenomenal artists. What is as a radio personality? What is your take on the music industry?
In general, or
in general? Yeah.
Sure. For me, I'm someone that doesn't just listen to music to have fun and dance.
Mm.
I listen for the message. And for me, music, comparing it from the 90s, when I was old enough to understand what music was, and basic to what music is today, the 90s had it. The 90s music was real music. And time
made
music.
Sense.
Yes. Hence, you can switch up and play something from the 90s right now, and people will still love it and sing to it and dance to it. And you also still crave that when you go out clubbing. Yes, they'll play current music right now, but when they play 90s music, you just see people smile from within when people get to take in that music.
Yeah.
So, yes, music is great now, but it's great for just now. That's the problem. It won't be great for 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And that's my problem I have with music currently.
Why do you think that is?
It works.
Is it because so many more people are have access to just, you know, before it was like, well, you needed somebody in a studio. Now, if you've got the right a software on your computer, you can be creating in your back room. Is it because of the level of complacency? Why do you think it is?
I think it's a combination of that and the fact that we're in an era where it's all about now.
Mm.
Let's make it happen now. We don't wait. We do it now.
Mm.
And because we can do it now, we'll do it now.
Mm.
And not much time is put into getting proper words into songs.
Yeah, writing
song
the lyrics.
Just, you just have songs that go, yeah, I'm gonna. And then that's a number one hit.
Mm.
And you ask yourself, how? Why?
Mm.
But it's also us as consumers that make this what it is today.
Yeah, putting it onto that pedestal, yes. and tapping to it and then putting it on the top charts, yeah. and so
you
forth.
And I could have a conversation like we're having right now about the fact that music isn't what it should be.
Mm.
End of the day, our friends will go out there and buy the CD. Probably you and I will also go out there and buy the CD and support them. So unless we put our foot down, we'll continue, unfortunately. So our kids won't have music like we had in the 90s to actually sit down and take in and understand and make it speak to the inner core.
And also to create that message. Who's your favorite? I mean, you've mentioned a few Ghanaian artists. Who's your favorite South African female?
Based on what I just said now about the 90s and music currently today, I'd have to say Zonke.
Yeah.
She's a soulful singer. And Tandiswa, she brings current and past together and still makes it relevant, completely relevant.
You know what I love about Tandiswa is that it's not just about the level of relevance, is that she's also very rooted in a Xhosa tradition. And I've learned a lot from what she's expressing within her songs, within her demeanor, within her image, and so forth. Do you relate a lot with that? Because it is a tradition that's specifically dominant in the Eastern Cape.
Well, beyond the flashy lights and the making noise, I want something that's real.
Yeah.
And if you resonate with me within that realness, then I'll like you. And that's what she does. Because at the end of the day, when the lights are out, you want to be real to yourself.
Yeah.
So take in something that's real.
Mm. And then male artists, South African male artists.
Oh, yeah, because I only gave you two females. Someone that actually broke out recently is quite good. Natty, not quite sure if you've heard his music.
Mm-hmm.
He's also got that soul element.
Mm.
When I talk about the loud stuff, AKA is okay.
Yeah. Don't let him tell you. Don't let him hear that.
Okay. The hip hop giants of the country. AKA, he might just come up with another record about me.
Yeah. Yes. Anything's possible. There'll be a tour going on about what you said.
Yeah. I don't mind, eh? It's good publicity. So.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we can press on AKA as much as we want.
Yeah. And where does Marin, I mean, you mentioned that you wanted to start your own company, but in terms of, what is your 5 to 10 year plan? Do you want to stay, do a company within the media industry, or something totally different? What is your game plan?
Well, looking at what I've been doing in the past 9-10 years, it's always been about media. Mm-hmm. So chances are it probably will involve the media because it's all I know.
Yeah.
But if possible, I would like to branch outside of it. But if I want to be real to myself, then I'll probably stay within it. I just knew growing up that whatever I wanted to become or do, it had to change people's lives.
Right.
So I'm working on that, and hopefully it'll come to me, and I'll get to push it and do it.
Mm.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I've got a few things I want to do. But that big thing, that wow aspect still has to come to me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's listen to one of her favorite Ghanaian artists, Ms. V. Track 2.
Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Rosie Muthena, a.k.a. the Afro-Yiddish Princess. And I have in studio with me Marion Lati, who is Ghanaian, but was born and grew up in South Africa. And we're getting the perspective of West African versus Southern African. So at the moment, when you look at how the world is seeing Africa, they're suddenly realizing that Africa is a sexy continent. And everyone wants a now. You know, we're no longer starving children and flyers and UN people that need help and so forth. Mm. They're suddenly understanding the beauty and the essence that we have to offer. What is your take on that? Do you think that Africans have put themselves on the right platform globally, or are we still in a process where we could be exploited?
It took us too long to get here, to be honest. I think we should have been there 40 years ago, if not more.
Yeah.
Because you look at the fact that people from the West came here to get what they got, and that made them a success. Just that, I guess, as Africans, we tend not to realize our strengths, our values beyond our culture. And because of that, many things are taken for granted. And the next person comes in and takes it off our feet, literally. Mm. And then we realize, hey, we wake up sometimes too late. I mean, look at this. 2015, 2014, mm-hmm. only now the world is starting to respect us, which mm-hmm. didn't happen years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And your take on the lack of female leaders across the continent, do you think that we still have a long way to go in terms of the rise of African female power?
Mm.
Well, I mean, the African female power is there, but I mean, the ratio of presidents across the continent is really, really minimal. What's your take on that?
I guess that'll always be a war between African culture versus West culture.
Mm.
If you want to look at leadership versus in the terms of African culture,
yeah.
women cannot lead and mm. should not lead.
Mm.
So if that's what we are going to try and hold on to, which we should, because that's all we have as Africans
yeah.
that distinguishes us from the West, then unfortunately there won't be many female leaders,
mm.
which, you know, stepping outside of the African mold is a sad thing, because females are strong enough and we have the qualities actually.
Mm.
If only we were given the chance to and people will be able to see that we can make this work. We can run this beyond
if we weren't put into positions where we were set up to fall.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We need, I mean, and maybe I could also get your intake on this, is that, you know, The PhD syndrome, the Pullo Down syndrome, is very, very evident, and I think it's more evident amongst African women. In your group, in your generation, is there a level of upliftment? Or are you supporting each other?
Well, you have certain groups, as with every friendship you have that group that will uplift you and push you and push you. You have the other group that will pull you down, other group that will just be there in the middle, not quite sure whether they're coming or going.
Mm.
And also what you said, basically, with the pull me down syndrome when it comes to ladies, we also fighting that, and also fighting black culture, where black
yeah.
people don't want the other black person to succeed. So it's a lot difficult for us as females to work it and make it work. You know, we fighting against two enormous powers. So if you succeed at that, then you are indeed a
yeah.
strong African woman.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, when I was starting out in the industry, and I mean, I've only went into radio the last 10 years of my career, but there was a lot of sexism within the TV. Have you encountered that? Is it because I know that different networks have gender equality terms and things in place, but a lot of the time it's a lot of window dressing. Have you encountered a lot of sexism coming in?
In entertainment, you'd be kidding yourself if you don't open your eyes and see it.
Mm.
Whether someone actually says it to you or does it to you, you cannot ignore the fact that when you even look at where you work, the male versus female ratio, within that ratio, leadership, all those things, when you open up your eyes, you get to understand that we have a long way to go.
Mm.
I mean, if I look where I'm working right now, it's pretty much male-dominated.
Yeah.
And the females are just there basically to be that bimbo woman,
yeah.
the woman with the skirt, sorry to say.
Mm.
And it's sad, because we have a lot more to offer than that. But will we ever get to the point where we'll be allowed to be who we really are?
If we don't have to prove.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Who we really are. Or will they keep on choosing the wrong poster girl that speaks for all women, which is what they're doing right now?
How have you handled it? Because you're very, very rooted in who you are and your beliefs. How have you handled and haven't succumbed to that, I mean, what would you call it, the bubblegum nonsense?
Big nonsense.
Yeah.
I guess I try my best not to let it get to me, because if it gets to me, it'll affect my work. And if it affects my work, then I also just become part of another cycle, which I don't want to happen.
But also, it gives them the power.
Yes, it does give them the power. But end of the day, if you stay strong in what you do, what you're employed to do, and you maintain who you are, someone's always watching, someone notices, and that person tells the next person, and they get to realize that, hey, that woman over there is different. See her, watch her, and when the opportunity comes about, they will give it to you.
Mm, absolutely. It's quite an empowering topic. Do you get involved with the younger girls and talking about these issues and empowering younger girls for the generations that are going to follow?
Not in terms of having seminars, but when I do have one-on-one conversations with people and it comes about, then, yeah, we get into this in-depth, deep conversation.
Mm.
And we often leave each other better and having understanding something we never understood.
Yeah.
And if I see someone has the potential to do seminars, I'll say to them, go out there, make it work, and get people there, and let's start talking.
Mm.
And let's change what's happening right
yeah.
now. It won't change unless we make a change.
Yeah.
Because we know what's going on, but we just, like the music,
mm.
we just
But why is that?
Because
people are, you know, and I think, you know, musicians, and if you go back to the 80s and apartheid, it was our musicians, it was...
They were the voice.
They were the voice. It was our actors. They were the voice. They were transcending those messages. How do we get people to, and even if it, I mean, I'm not even just talking about musicians, but people to talk about issues. So yes, this happened. I'm not happy with it. What's happened is that person's violated me, but I won't talk about it. I don't want to rock the boat. How are we going to change that perception?
Okay, let me not say that all musicians have just fallen under the whole bubblegum
image
right now.
Yeah.
You do have a few musicians who do try and do exactly that. But if you notice, their music video, their song, if it does get major airplay, it stays for a very short time and then it's just lost, forgotten. Yeah. Mm. And then
CSI, it's put into a specific bracket. Yes. Yeah.
So you have individuals who do try, but in them trying, it also sends a message to those that could also change what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
But should they want to change it, they realize it's not going to work because they only get 1 week, 2 weeks, and it's gone.
Mm.
Whereas when I do what I'm doing, I get months of airplay. So will it be worth it? No. Mm. And people need to make money to survive.
Yeah.
So whether we know the truth or not, will it give me money?
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I suppose it's also just, it's that double play that if you're making enough money to cover your bills and to cover your legacy, then you take out time and it's a humanitarian.
Because holding placards won't pay my bills.
Yeah. No,
but selling a song that sells millions. Well,
yeah. And gets to the teenagers and so forth.
Yes.
Other organizations, other humanitarian, I mean, what is your take on children and women abuse across the continent?
Hmm.
Do you think that we're speaking about it enough, going back to what we're talking about?
Again, it's not like with xenophobia.
Mm.
Unfortunately here, I'm not sure about other African countries, but I'll base on what I know, which is South Africa.
Mm.
You only get to know about such things during certain calendar days or months, like Women's Month, but I feel there could still be a lot that the government can do for Women's Month. But
instead of having tea parties and fashion shows, because I mean, that just goes back to the stereotype.
And then the 16 days in December. Mm. So those are the only times we really get to know what's going on. But in us getting to know what's going on, it's just copy and paste every single year. What are we going to do this year to actually open up the next person's eyes beyond copy and paste that we do all the time?
Mm.
I mean, people saw copy and paste before the 16 days or before Women's Month.
Mm.
So there is more you can do.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. But it's also, it's more, and I don't want to, I mean, I'm using the word lifestyle, but lifestyle is a very positive word, but it's about the way you think. And if you can adapt that philosophy 365 days of the year, and then when somebody goes out of line, correct them.
Yeah.
I think that would be on a better path if you want to create that proper change, as opposed to just the window dressing.
Yes.
You know. In your opinion, what more could the government do? Because I mean, I've got a list of that needs to happen. Mm. You know, what is your opinion on that?
I think showcasing more stories on a regular and showcasing more stories, it will obviously speak to people and show them that they don't have to be afraid to report what's going on in their household, their workplace, or wherever they're being abused.
Yeah.
And because people don't come through, real people, not people who are paid to just advertise and pretend that they were abused.
Yeah.
So because they're not coming from a real place all the time, I wouldn't feel safe to come out and say, I'm Marion, I was abused yesterday.
Mm.
And not just yesterday, but for the past 5 years of my life.
Mm.
And I need help now.
Mm.
Help me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very profound that. We're going to take a quick break and listen to another artist by the name of D Black. And then after the break, let's get a little bit more personal with Marion.
Hey. Ooh. Yay. Ooh, yay. D Black. He's
Davido. Okay, welcome back to the last segment of the show. My name is Rosie McDonough, a.k.a. the Afro-Yiddish Princess, and I'm speaking to the beautiful Marion Lahti. Love?
Yes.
Yes.
Personal. And you go, love?
I'm just going straight into
it. I ignore such words. I didn't hear it.
But we all need love in our lives.
Yes,
I mean, I love Duncan,
do.
My right-hand man. You know, it's really...
Hence, you're so far apart. But you love each other.
Oh, we love each other. Is marriage and children on the cards?
Yes,
it's a very stereotypical question that when you ask a woman, it's like, well, do you want the wife, the husband and all of that? And I mean, I remember growing up and I didn't dream of the white wedding. You know, and now I'm getting old. I was like, yes, of course, I'd like a companion, but it's for me, it's not about that white wedding and then the picket fence. It's about creating that union with somebody, that becoming a best friend with somebody, so that when you're dying or when you're sick or whatever, that person's got your back without even you having to say so. What's your take on marriage?
Like you said, different strokes for different folks. Mm. And also nowadays, things are a lot different than they were when our parents were growing up.
Yeah.
Now people are chasing different things. And I guess it's more of, as you chase, will you find someone that will chase with you or someone that you'll find as you get to the top of your race?
Yeah.
That's what it has become. Unfortunately, you have people that will still go back and be part of their parents' time. And, and as a woman, you put your dreams aside or completely close that box for that man in your life because you want what you were told to have when you're a little girl, that you need to get married, you must get kids by this age and that age, and that's how it must be. If you need to stop what you're doing, you stop what you're doing and you support him, and that's that. But nowadays, there's a lot more to life. And
did you get pressure from your family?
For sure. They're part of the old school. So, I need to explain that no mom, no dad. But my dad, what I like about him is he supports you if you can show him that it's working. You know, so he'll always support you.
But that's also very typical old school. Is that, well, show me that the piece of paper is white because I'm seeing it as purple.
Yes.
And as artists,
tell me it's
like,
pink and not purple.
Yeah, and as artists, we sing it all those sorts of stuff. In fact, it's not even a piece of paper. It's a book. You know what I mean? Yeah.
With my mom, it's more of cast in stone. Mm. It's past this age. What's going on? I need it to happen. Make me happy. Mm. I want to see my grandkids and. Mm. But also with that, just like with my career part that I chose, every year you get to explain and they get to understand that, okay, it will happen. I'm not saying I never want to get married, but I guess myself and the person both understand when it's right, it will happen because we're both chasing things. And I know with what I'm doing right now, I don't have the time. I'd be lying to myself and my child or my children if I had to say, let me get married tomorrow, let me have my kids now, because I wouldn't have the time for them. And the mother I want to be is I want to be fully present all the time.
Yeah.
I don't
want to
take my kids.
But also you want to be happy.
Yes.
You know, and like I've spoken to a lot of people, and although they didn't realize what they were doing at the time, but – and I'm generalizing, these are the specific people that I've spoken to, is that in their 20s, they resented the fact that some of us were studying or some of us were partying. And whether you like it or not, that feeling of resentment is transcended through to your child, you know. And yes, we got the biology and our bodies maybe might not adapt, or we might need assistance with egg freezing and so forth. But I think that, you know, as Oprah says, that we can have it all, but not all at the same time.
Yes.
You know, and I
just
think
allow time as well.
Yeah.
Allow it in all its forms.
Yeah.
When because, it's time, because, it's time. Because when it's not time, it's not time.
Yeah, they're not pushing the guys. And I think there's a rise of new women that are just this generation of women who are just saying, okay, well, I'm not just going to succumb. You know, so many people have said to me, well, just settle. I was like, I don't need –
unhappy.
Yes, yes. You know, and then he's philandering and then you philandering and then the children unhappy. It's just
because
like,
just because in paper we missed and misses.
Yeah, you know, and the ring's there and Yeah, but I mean, how can we change that? Because unfortunately there still is that school that the minute you get to 30, oh my goodness, if I don't find my husband.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I've been told I'm barren. I've then asked, well, am I not interested in men? Do the family have to get used to the idea that I might be bringing a woman home?
Are you psycho? Are you psycho?
Yes, are you psycho? What, were you too picky?
Yes.
You know, all of these things. And do you think society plays a big role in those stereotypes?
100%.
Yeah.
Because every girl is told from a young age that this is your path.
Yeah.
I guess now it's different because they'll also throw in education on top of it. But you always be told marriage, kids, support your husband as early as possible. Mm. So unless that changes, then this won't change. Yeah. You have people like you and I who will go against the status quo. But of course, then you'll have those names thrown at you, like, what's going on with you? Are you sure you're okay? just have one child now. Don't get married. Just have a child. Mm. But you need to. As a woman, you must have kids. Mm. Why?
Mm. Yeah. Or you've left it for too late. How do you know it's too late?
Do you know my body?
Yeah.
Have you examined me? You know?
Yeah. Mm. And then I wanted to ask something in terms of where you want to take your career. Do you just want to stay in SA, or do you plan to branch out?
Mm. I wouldn't like to limit myself to SA. I'm hoping probably, if opportunity allows, I could do something in the UK, mm-hmm. or even go back home to Ghana and do something there. I wouldn't mind, actually. So UK, USA, or Ghana, mm-hmm. those three, I would love to.
Yeah. And within the same medium, with radio, with television, sending the message out.
Because it's what I'm doing right now, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what's making sense to me, and is making sense to those that consume what I do.
Yeah. Mm. And advice to young girls who don't know what they want.
Mm.
They're finishing off school, they're confused, they might come from a household or a family that's even stricter than what you came from. What advice would you give to them?
It's okay not to know what you want to do, but if you don't know what you want to do, you need to learn to listen more. Because my path, I never really knew. I'm one of those people that can do a lot of things. So because I can do a lot of things, I don't know of that bunch what is me, what is Marion. So I had to learn to listen.
Mm.
When people tell you the same thing, that's what you should pursue and spend time on and see if it'll work for you.
Yeah.
So learn to listen more. If you do know, great. See yourself in it. Start dreaming it, start being it, and then let it become it.
Mm. And in terms of marriage, and I'm sure you get this question asked a lot, do your parents expect you to come home with somebody from West Africa or from Ghanaian tradition, or would they be happy with somebody from Scandinavia?
My mother, she would prefer someone from the same culture, a Ghanaian guy.
Mm.
Her reasoning behind it is because it's less complicated, because you only have one culture to concentrate on, and that's it. And then when the marriage stress has come about, then you can deal with that. But now you have marriage stress, you have culture stress, you have that and this stress.
Yeah.
So if you can minimize it, minimize it. And that's why I should prefer me to bring home someone from Ghana, who she has a list of, by the way.
I'm just going to ask you.
Yeah,
is there that family that the parents want you to get involved with?
Yes.
And, yeah. And how are you handling that?
I am at the top two of her list, so I've chopped it down to top two, and seeing if those top two actually work with what I'm doing right now, work with me, and what I hope to do as well, and also of course with who I also have.
Yeah.
So we'll see when I'm ready in the next 2 years. I'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully I make the right choice. I guess that's also the scary part.
But the thing is, the right choice, you follow your heart. Don't listen to the list. Follow your gut. And if there's top two, if you meet them and things happen, and if your gut tells you no, follow it.
When you say follow your heart as well, nowadays we are in a very complicated, complex world.
Yeah.
Your heart belongs to so many things. So what you get from this person, your heart is there.
Mm.
And the other person doesn't give you that, but something else that your heart loves.
Mm.
So that's the complicated part of it all.
No.
You know? So they all cater to different things. It's just of those different things, 20 years from now, which one of those different things will still be strong in your book and still be strong when it comes to what your heart resonates with?
Mm-hmm. Health-wise, I mean, you're incredibly fit. How do you stay?
Oh, incredibly fit.
You look it.
I don't think so, but thank you.
Did you grow up very sports orientated?
Yes, I did. Mm. I was an athlete. I used to run 100 meters, and I played hockey as well for a huge chunk of my life till about 2009. That's when I stopped. So I was always that sporty person. So when I go back home actually to East London and I tell people I'm in radio, it's almost a shock to them because they always thought I'd do something related to sports or probably become a lawyer because I used to talk a lot in school, which my dad hated. So it's a shock to them. But I guess it's a combination of all those two.
Mm.
What I do, I get to talk. What I do makes me travel to many places. So those elements of sport and talk are still there.
Yeah. And what is your health regime? Do you exercise a couple of times a week? I mean, obviously not doing the hockey anymore.
I should
maybe
do that.
You should.
I should exercise a couple of times a week, but I don't. I don't.
And the importance of eating healthy and eating clean, how important is that to you?
Very important.
Yeah.
Again, also because I've decided not to have a family at a very young age. So what I consume is very important to me.
Mm.
also, I don't not eat things because, oh my gosh, you can't eat this because you're going to have kids when you're 40. No. I don't eat what I don't like and I eat what I like. Mm. But in me eating what I like, I know I should have it in proportion, you know. But since a very young age, I've never liked oily food.
Yeah.
So luckily for me, that helps me a lot.
Yeah. Because I mean, yeah, you've got beautiful skin, you've got a beautiful body, and I think no, but I think
it's
very
feel like I should get a photographer and
but I think it's important that women should follow that. But then also, you know, as African women, we've got the hips, but just because you've got the hips doesn't mean you're unhealthy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, and I think that's a very important message. If people want to get hold of you, what is your Twitter handle, Facebook, Instagram, the whole entourage?
Me and admin. So, because I don't really like admin, but because of what I do, I had to conform and be part of one or two of those social platforms. I'm on Facebook. The full name there is Marion Nyakulati. It's a double barrel surname. And then on Twitter, I'm on Lati Official.
Okay.
And Instagram.
Why the double barrel surname?
My dad's surname actually is a double barrel surname.
Okay. I thought maybe it was your mom and your dad.
No. My mom also had a double barrel surname as well. So they were double barrels who found each other.
Okay.
So my granddad, whose name was Nyaku, added his name onto the surname, which originally was just Lati.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it became double barrel Nyaku Lati. Why he did it, I've got no idea. But it helps me. Because when I say my surname, people want to know exactly what my story is.
Mm.
Because it's one of those things that you can't just read and ignore.
Yeah.
It just jumps out at you.
Absolutely. And message to people out there in the industry, what can they expect of Marion in the next 5 years?
Well, you can expect me not to conform. I guess I can't exactly say that 100% and stand by that statement because a small part of you needs to conform somewhat to survive.
Mm.
But I won't become that girl that just laughs in the background
as a
woman in the industry just because I need to survive.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that people respect that about me.
Mm.
And I won't be that girl just because you're going to pay me more. No. What you see is what you get, basically.
Mm.
My upbringing, my parents always taught us to be rich in values and never ever drop that standard for anyone or anything.
Yeah.
That's why when someone has to say your name and surname, the reaction after that must speak of pride.
Absolutely.
And not anything else.
That's powerful, beautiful. Thank you. I'm just like really resonating with what you say. Thank you so much for the time.
No, thank you for having me.
And we will touch base next year after you've done a trip to Ghana. Bring us back some new music. Let us know what's happening on the scene.
I shall.
And to end off the show, we're going to be playing off with another Ghanaian artist. And catch us next week where we go to Zambia, where we talk to Chishala Chitoshi Jr. about the rise of his radio station called Flavor FM. And what's been happening on the music scene in Zambia. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, you can find me on Twitter, Princess RTM. Otherwise, I'm on Facebook, Rosie Mudena, and Instagram, aka the Afro-Yiddish Princess. Thank you so much for listening.
Pan-African Connect.